This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, welcome back to TVI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Francis D.
My skin looks well good today. Sorry to introduce you, James.
Sort that jizz.
I think it is. How's everyone else's skin looking? Your skin's very good, Josephine.
Yes, it is.
Guest Josephine Lacey.
Thank you.
Welcome to the studio.
Drink a lot of water.
No, I use a lot of male protein.
Oh dear, yeah. meat protein shake.
You don't have to be exact if you don't want to, but what do you mind us asking the age category?
My age? Oh, 55 this year.
55. You look very 54. Young for 55.
Thank you.
But yeah, I feel like I'm sort of not doing dry January, but I'm doing a very healthy January.
Dry skin January.
It's not January, darling.
Oh yeah, shit. Oh yeah.
February.
I'm doing soggy February, everyone.
You're still lagging from December.
Is it? Oh yeah, is it February? It's like 8 days into February.
It's cocaine
it's all
February.
That liquor. You said that liquor in the morning, December, didn't do you no damage.
No, it didn't do me any physical damage.
It's done your mental
but
damage.
Mentally it did ruin me. I've also in the last couple of months introduced an evening skincare routine pre-bed. I now moisturise pre-bed, not just after
a
shower.
Yeah. Do you use retinol in the evening? Hyaluronic acid in the morning?
I don't do any of this.
LSD in the afternoon.
I just use as an evening a night cream that Hannah bought.
Where did you get it?
Hannah bought it. Oh. I mean, I buy my own.
Aldi actually do all right for face
fucking
stuff.
Aldi face cream. I'm just gonna straighten that mic up. What's your skin routine?
I honestly just use soap and water.
Really?
And what actual normal soap?
A non-perfumed one.
Ah.
And
I've not seen anyone use a bar of soap in.
Yeah, bar of soap.
I have a bar of soap at
home. I can't bear
really?
That liquid pump stuff.
What?
And my son will just keep pumping. He thinks it's a game kind of thing.
Yeah. How old's your son?
He's 16, but you know he's mentally delayed. So
right.
Yeah.
He just thinks
it's a game.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What age is he mentally delayed to? Not that there's something specific.
No, it's not.
Seven and three quarters. All right.
He's different things socially. He's more delayed than, say, academically.
Okay. So your son's autistic, right?
He's autistic, yes. And got sensory processing.
My daughter's autistic. Yeah.
Did she get it from you?
Yeah.
She literally just caught it off him. Julian's so autistic that you can catch it just if you hang out of it for too long.
Just breathe on you. It's like COVID.
I've started to get signs of it just from osmosis.
Everyone has to get masked up around me.
Just go home and start reciting all the numbers.
Because obviously,
she's the same though, not academically. She's good academically.
Yeah, my son's a savant musicality.
Right. Is he?
And a genius in math. Okay.
She's a moron compared to that. Yeah. She ain't got nine I'm proud of. No, not like that. Not really.
She's
lovely.
Not to start any sort of this big discussion, but you know, because obviously, you've how long? When was he diagnosed? Very young.
He was diagnosed at 2.5, but okay. I knew he was extra special.
So that was sort of before the new wave of autism being discussed much more freely.
What was he doing at 2.5 that was like outstanding?
Well, it was before 2.5. What he would do is he had this thing. He would walk backwards.
Okay, I've heard
walk to backwards get away from like.
yeah, out the front door.
Because you had a shoe you were about to throw it in.
But it's like he had an eye at the back of his head because he would turn corners.
Right.
He would turn corners. Me and his big brother would just stand there like watching him.
So it's not much like he'd mapped out the...
He's got the terrain. Word, wouldn't it? And he would, although he was non-verbal at the time, he would read to himself and the longer the word and the more syllables it had in it, more attractive it was to him. And he used to do quirky things, like he wouldn't eat off of a plate. He used to tip his food on the table.
Right.
I'd put it back on the plate. Mm. He'll tip it off back on the plate.
Yeah.
And then in the end, he'll just swipe it and it'd go all over the...
Young soldier.
Yeah.
It was just chairs.
The man of the house already.
Chairs, he would tip upside down. Yeah, so the legs were up that way and he'd sit in the base of the chair.
Okay.
So literally, I honestly thought the day of his diagnosis, they would just tell me like he was severely dyslexic.
Yeah.
Because I just thought his brain was the other way around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because like you said, at that time, autism was just a word to me. I never knew anyone who was supporting someone with autism. I didn't know where autism schools were. It was just a word.
Did he go to a special school?
He's still in one. Oh. He went to a neurotypical, sorry, I hate that word, but he went to a neurotypical nursery, did really well.
Neurotypical is a normal nursery, yeah?
It's for people who don't have special needs special education.
So that's a normal nursery, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just say nursery.
Yeah, no, it's all right. We know you're not neurotypical, so everything needs explaining.
I'm a neuro-bad man.
I saw somebody. What did you say?
But my daughter, I noticed things about her. She was selective mute. They labelled it.
My cousin's kid's selective mute.
I don't believe in selective shit. That's just they choose not.
Yeah. There was a bit of that. Like she wouldn't.
She don't like you,
mate. She never spoke to a school teacher in her whole life. She had a little group of friends. She never used to eat at lunch, so I used to have to go in and sit with her and eat in a classroom with her and her mate. But I used to like doing that. It was nice.
Yeah.
Can also, I suppose, check up on them in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Especially when you know that they don't engage like everyone else. I mean, after he went to nursery and he did so well, I was fooled that he could manage in a state-run school with a one-to-one.
Yeah.
And this school took him on. I'll out them. Flora Gardens.
Where is Flora Gardens?
It's in Hammersmith.
Right.
The same head teacher's not there, to my understanding. But literally, they stole all his funding. She kitted out her room.
Nah.
He had no station. He didn't have a specialised one-to-one.
She had some new shoes on.
He never did a full day.
Yeah.
I always had to collect him at lunch. He had half day. And then one day I dropped him off, picked him up at 12, and honest to God, I'll try not for change because it still upsets me. I walked in and he had literally no cheeks left. He had torn off
because of the stress,
all the skin on his cheeks. And she said to me, "Oh, he's been doing that since 10 minutes after you left." I said, "So didn't no one have the sense to ring me 10 minutes after to come and get my son?"
Lost it, did you? Yeah.
I lost it, but you can't overlose it because I'm his only parent. I can't end up in prison. So
I didn't mean murder anyone.
I
stabbed her 18 times, but
I didn't want to go too far.
Well, can I just get a caution? And so
how old was he then?
He hadn't hit 5 yet. And so I refused to send him back in. It was a big hullabaloo. I made a complaint to the education department.
They deserve it, though.
They were like, "Well, what do you want her to happen to her?" I said, "Well, put it this way. If I had robbed the government of funding for a special needs person and spent it on myself and my office, you would want the money back and you would threaten me with prison."
I said,
did she, anything happen to her?
I couldn't see her.
Did they listen to you though, did you feel?
They listened, because I'm very articulate, especially when it comes to complaining. Because I don't do it straight away.
Special skill.
Yeah, I don't do it straight away. I have to go in, swallow the anger, following day, put the knife down. And then I'll put it on paper or email and then relieve it like that.
It must be because my wife's wicked at complaining. I'm not.
I'm terrible at complaining. All my mates contact me to do their complaint letters.
The complaints person.
The serious shit they
got your personal complaints department.
Yeah, they'll say, look, I've got the thing. I got someone back. They were, they're a comedian, but they do it. They've got a lot on. They don't do it now, but at the time, they just did it for their mental health kind of thing.
It's a terrible decision. It's the worst thing you can do for your mental health. I might just do some stand-up. The most fucking galling opening thing you could do. Put yourself out there.
And she made me laugh. She was on a poster and someone from her benefits office saw the poster.
Oh, shit.
They stopped the benefits. But she didn't get a lot of paid work. She got the odd paid work.
Yeah.
So they stopped and then sent her a letter saying she owed them £23,000.
What?
She was unnerved.
Yeah.
I said, give me all the facts. Like, tell me how much you get, blah, blah,
you
blah.
You charged her 24.
I charged her 24 grand. I said, any of the money you get back is an equal split, right? But she rang me a few weeks later, did the letter for her, a few weeks later, said that she wasn't a member of Equity, weren't on TV, weren't on radio, did all the shebill, and then she only ended up owing them the last two payments.
Nice.
Yeah.
She was well grateful.
She was well grateful. She bought me a sandwich.
Oh, that's good. She's a tight bitch.
I currently owe a little bit of backdated
chat. You should do another letter, mate.
Can you do anything for me?
Make a complaint about her. Yeah. We'll say, actually, I lied. The bitch has been working from dot one.
Oh, that one who's on Live at the Apollo next season.
She does a corporate every night.
Yeah.
There's a few people that have had that thing, innit? I'm not going to name them because I'm sure you wouldn't want it out, but people who've basically not been declared self-employed and they've sort of been on benefits and then they've literally done a TV spot. And then suddenly somebody from the benefits office recognised
there was a guy years ago, wasn't there?
Let's not name him.
No,
there was one person who got
McIntyre.
Done. Yeah, sorry for doing McIntyre's roadshow.
Oh, he did the roadshow.
And was on television doing a TV,
in the tax office.
The space he saw that this was a person who was not registered as self-employed.
Didn't declare that 18 grand.
Egypt.
And apparently then they investigated and sort of there was quite a substantial backdated payment was due. And there was no sort of getting out of it. I think there was so much
evidence. You can't fuck with the tax and the government.
No, I was going to say the Queen's money, it's the King's now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't. If they owe you, you wait for ages. The minute you owe them,
boom. Yeah.
So they're not worth it.
I mean, I don't know how true this is, but for self-employed people, my accountant has always said, declare every bit of income. Don't ever try to get rid of that. You can claim way more than you think as expenses.
He
always says, claim, just buy everything, put everything on the company, essentially.
Yeah.
And but actually, as long as you're declaring everything, not within reason, obviously, but ultimately, you are a sole trader who most of the stuff you buy if you're away gigging and that
petrol,
is
petrol, car, clothes.
He's always said that you can stretch your legs a bit.
But
do declare it. They tend to only investigate if they think you're not declaring income, not if they think you're over claiming in expenses.
So
that's my little tip, guys. Little financial
milk
tip
it
for this week. Go to town.
And now he's just fucked up every self-employed person.
I'm helping. Guess what? I had not to slightly change the topic, but I had to have my balls checked again this morning.
On the
by
train.
Who?
By the doctor.
Right.
That was my
doctor this time.
My mom. Yeah.
Oh, that's
not that homeless person on the corner.
I thought
he's got to earn his fucking cup of tea.
I didn't trust his diagnosis, so I went to an official man. I think what might have happened
What's
is in the last
balls?
Week.
Balls?
I think
They're
I either
really
I've
small.
Slept on.
What did you say?
It's still really small.
Is there anything we do about these, mate?
They're like M&M's.
Everyone keeps laughing at them.
Are my balls bigger than your balls?
But no, I think, I don't know if I slept funny and they got a bit sore, or one of them got a bit sore, or if Twilum, my daughter's jumped on them and sort of kicked me or something. Because basically, I just, about 5 days ago,
I
woke up one morning and it just, one of them's a bit sore.
Yeah, you've got to be careful.
And
man,
I thought I'd give it a couple of days. And then it just suddenly, over the weekend, it sort of got a bit better, but it was still a little numb pain.
Show us.
I panicked. Which camera are we on?
Let us do a diagnosis.
Jamie, put Cole's balls
up. Cock your lick up.
But I went to a doctor today and he had a full-on rummage around. Jesus, it was quite... Like, it was all fine.
I can still see the bulge.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
Was he growling?
But, like, because I had my last... Basically, this time last year, I had to go for a prostate exam.
Oh, lucky.
So your arse is sore or not?
Arse was fine. And this time, it was my bulge. So, different doctor. This time, very different. It? Last year was an elderly lady doctor. Like, I'm talking, like, she was, like, late 60s. And she was the one that went up my batty hole.
I'd like that.
I preferred that to today's one. Tall, 6'3", 6'2", maybe.
Hunk, dreamboat.
Like broad Asian man. He was lovely, but his hands were big and strong.
Ooh, maybe sweet. I should tell him my breasts are.
Mate. Can you have a look at my dick, particularly when it comes? Because it burns.
Oh, Julia.
Oh, my God.
I thought I was eloquently filthy. That was just nasty.
Never try and get into a competition to out dirty Julia.
No.
He will take it to unnecessary places.
So did he? He balls?
He felt my balls. Even though I said it's just this one, he really had a look at the other one as well.
And then just trying to weigh and match him up.
He fiddled all up inside. He was grabbing the sort of the
what did they say? Stage 4. These tiny balls are stage 4.
He said everything looks fine, but I would start tying up your affairs.
wrapping things up, like dotting the I's.
No, he said
power of attorney.
What is in that? That looks quite a concoction.
Get it from the lake
for
on the way in.
Josephine's just opened up a smoothie.
It's a concoction to stop
cup.
My balls hurting.
Can I have some?
Do you rub it around?
Is that savoury or sweet?
It's savoury with a bit of sweet sweetener in it.
So what's in it?
What's the sweetener?
Mango.
Couple of sugars.
Mango and apple.
Two sugars.
Mango,
please.
Apple. What's the savoury element?
Kale, spinach, ginger, garlic.
Okay, so it is a garlic.
Yeah.
What?
Cinnamon.
How do you put the garlic in it? Like you just chop it up a little bit?
Well, it goes into the blender, so it blends itself, love.
I see what you mean.
Like the rest of it just doesn't say, oh, there's garlic, I won't blend that bit, and then blend the rest of it.
Have you got a Nutribullet type
I have.
Thing?
I use one every day like that as well.
Does yours, mine always
mine doesn't
says, don't
look
put
like
hot
diarrhea,
food
though.
Yours don't what?
Well, they always say don't put hot food in it, but I've used my Nutribullet
soup.
Every single time I've ever made
hot
soup.
Hot vodka.
Like, just, and it's never had a problem. So I don't know why are they saying you can't use it for hot stuff?
I guess, I don't know, that's their disclaimer.
Right, okay, because I'm blitzing up everything.
Yeah, I want to get a Vitamix.
My mate's got one, then they're heavy, man. Mm. But it's just basically the same. It's just a bit more, it's sort of...
But Nutribullet are good, aren't they?
Yeah.
So loud, though.
You
I'm
could get new cups as well, if you like.
Yeah, I'll get a cup.
Throw one at the wall or something.
They are very good.
I actually buy the insurance for mine as well, because I use it so much.
How much was the motor insurance?
I think it was £33 for 3 years.
That's all right.
Yeah. They're pretty hard to burn out.
I mean, you could buy
John Hastings, comedian, burnt Chris Martin's out. He borrowed it and burnt it out.
Didn't he put a full orange in it?
Put hot food in it.
No, he put, I shared a flat with him in Edinburgh, and he put a whole lemon, didn't cut it, nothing.
Oh, the Egypt.
Whole lemon in a blender. And was wondering why the blender sounded like it was going to fucking take off. Do you know what I mean?
Egypt. Even because I use the avocado stone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, in the blender?
Yeah, but you can slice it. I was going to say I don't put it in whole.
Right.
You have to.
What's the benefits of an avocado stone?
It's actually the most healthy thing of the avocado bar the oil.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You could plant an avocado tree.
Let's have a look. Let's have a look at the nutritional makeup of an avocado stone. let's talk about this. I'm fascinated by this. I've always thought that is. It's always the slimiest.
You can bake it as well and crumble it and put it on a salad.
Really?
Yep.
What about grate? Could you grate?
You can ruin a salad.
I've never
with it.
Tried to salad.
I thought it was poisonous. Like, you know how apple seeds are.
Well, apple seeds are, but they are. But you can eat them because the amount of cyanide in them is so trace. So I eat sometimes if I'm out and I'm being lazy or I'm on a train eating an apple and there's no bin nearby. I'll just eat the whole thing.
Throw it out a window.
Oh, I don't. I'll wrap the core in a bit of tissue and wait.
I'll throw it out an old
but
person.
But I didn't know apple seeds were poisonous.
Well, no, they're technically. basically have got cyanide in them. It's such a low level.
It's not a lot.
You need to eat a bag of them to have any issues.
But yeah, you're right. It lowers blood pressure, reduces cholesterol, prevents the risk of heart disease, strengthens bones, immune system, really? Calms your nerves. Apparently.
What
ruins a smoothie?
Told you.
But what does it have a taste?
No. I don't like the taste. I've tried it baking.
Yeah.
I didn't like the taste. I did feel I might have overbaked it.
Right.
You've got to bake it on a really slow heat for quite a while.
Fuck that.
I know. but long. I did try it just to see, because I do eat a lot of cold greens.
You eat really healthy, innit?
I'm quite healthy, yeah. Yeah.
That's why you've got good skin.
Yeah, well, even my parents have good decent skin, really. But
you're a good cook, I bet.
Yeah, I am, yeah. Sorry,
that's right. Let's back yourself.
I remember you said you were going to bring me some food to Top Secret.
I did.
Didn't happen though, did it?
No, because you then said you don't eat meat.
Oh yeah,
because you did say that you did like a bit of curry goat. But
I used to love it. Yeah, yeah.
Really.
I'm cooking oxtail tonight for the boys.
Oxtail soup.
No, I'm just going to do it as a gravy with a gravy. I'm not going to make the soup and then just serve it with probably potatoes and dumpling or something.
Good.
I love that. That's probably my favourite. Well, when I ate meat, and I do Caribbean food.
I like
jerk chicken, curry goat.
I like vegan Caribbean food. Ital food.
Yeah, there is.
When I went to Jamaica and it was
banging.
Quality. Yeah, yeah. I had some of the best food. That I've never. And it's that funny thing is when you go vegan, like most of the foods you gravitate towards are Mexican and Indian, like the two that have got Indian food's all vegan.
Indian's got a lot of sugar Mexican in the sauces though, isn't it?
Like, not South Indian food.
In it?
Nah.
Oh.
South Indian mostly is vegan and healthy as well. But I didn't know about Ital food. And then I went to Jamaica and it was just everywhere. And I fucking loved it. It was a whole new...
Did you go to Jamaica on holiday? Yeah.
Yeah.
When was that?
About 6 years ago.
That must have been nice.
I haven't been since 2006. I used to go yearly.
Last time I went,
I was pregnant. Yeah.
Right. Yes, I really liked it. And
what part of Jamaica did you go?
Went down to St. Elizabeth.
Oh, okay.
And just down there, we flew into Montego Bay.
Montego Bay.
And then we got a lift down to the bottom of the island and then stayed there.
Yeah, it was about that 2.5-3 hour drive.
Yeah, it was long. Yeah. It was at night and it was a pretty treacherous drive at times.
Oh, if you can drive on Jamaican roads, you can drive anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's said of any kind of small island country.
Well, also a lot of when people talk about sort of the chaos of driving in other countries, like sometimes they talk about Bangkok and places like where it looks mad.
I've been Bangkok,
gridlock, tuk-tuk chaos.
But it's slightly everyone's a better driver technically because they don't have it's like the worst drivers are Australian. Like Australian drivers are terrible because their roads are so wide.
There's
so few of them that they learn to drive in places where there's no threat at all.
Yeah.
So they
come here. It's like America, I bet, as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Big old
roads. Come here and you suddenly are in tight roads where you've got to pull over to let someone through and it's like they shit themselves.
A road that was made for a horse. The Blackwall Tunnel was made for a horse carriage, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, don't quote me on that.
Look it up. You looked up my facts. Look, he's up fact up.
Blackwall Tunnel made for a horse carriage. I mean, it was built in the 70s. It was like 100 or 200 years old. Weren't cars around then generally?
Yeah, open before motor vehicles.
Really? I didn't know there was any tunnels. I didn't know
tunnels. It needs a new fucking crossing on that part of the river, man. It's always jammed.
I try not to go that way. I think if you're going Dartford way, you've got to go that way.
Dartford Crossing.
You can go Dartford Bridge.
Yeah. Dartford Crossing is the one that has that pit stake where there's no barriers and you just forget to pay it.
Well, you can. I've got a thing so it recognises your number plate and automatically charges you.
That's
you need to get
better.
That locked in.
But yes, where did you grow up?
Southwest London.
What part of Southwest London?
I was born in Clapham North.
Really?
Lived in Balham till we were about. Till I was about five.
Were you in Balham when it was still a bit crap?
It was Balham when it was, I'm a 60s baby, so it was hardcore street Balham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm from Tooting.
Oh,
and
right,
Balham got gentrified way before Tooting. I was still growing up in Tooting when it was shit.
Yeah.
And I remember the gentrification got to Balham.
Yeah.
And it all changed. And in Tooting, we were like, here it comes. And it was about another 15 years before we even got a fucking coffee shop.
Yeah.
But
Farmer's Market.
And then we moved to...
But Balham is crazy now. Balham is... I take my daughter to a Steiner school playgroup there. And
do you have to pay for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's but it's, and we're thinking of, that's where we're thinking of sending her to kindergarten.
I took Verity to see a Steiner skull. The kids all looked really bright and stuff. They were like showing us around, like little bright 7 year olds.
Well, weirdly, ironically, they don't do anything even approaching
it's
the normal.
It's all creative. And
yeah, it's all creative. There's no.
It was
curriculum.
A good vibe
they don't teach them to read. There's no even at primary school. They're like, they'll work it out. It's the most hippie.
I mean, that girl's working as a hooker now. I saw her again the other day, showing me around the brothel
before you paid for services. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, but it's so in Balham. There's a big Steiner, South London Steiner school. Yeah.
So what did you do before stand up then?
I used to run the services in the borough of Brent. I used to work for St. Mungo's. I started as a project worker.
St. Mungo's?
Homeless charity.
Homeless charity.
That's so, been funny.
No, it wasn't, right? It was very rewarding.
Oh, I bet.
Hence why I got no jokes on homelessness.
Why is it called St. Mungo's? Was St. Mungo the patron saint?
Yeah, he was the patron saint.
Where was St. Mungo
what?
From?
Scotland, doorways.
Can we I think.
Really?
Scotland, I think.
Scottish. Doesn't sound Scottish, Mungo.
I think it was Scotland.
So he was the patron saint of helping homeless people.
He
was the patron saint
he
of...
Was.
I said he.
Oh, I thought you said she.
Nah,
my apologies.
Women never do that. Not really.
No, she'd bring them into the house, like their brothel.
St. Mungo. What were we saying about St. Mungo?
And you did that for years, check.
I did it for years. I started as
in
a
Brent?
Project worker. No.
Oh, I thought you said Brent.
He's from Glasgow.
I ended up there.
He was from Glasgow.
Oh, Glasgow. Yeah.
Mungo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice guy.
What year, what is the history of Mungo?
He was born in 518 AD.
Whoa.
Okay, now he was old.
Yeah.
And there was what, big homelessness
died
problems?
Died 96.
He's dead. Oh, yeah, fucking hell. Ah. What a way to find out.
Yeah, I didn't even hear, I hadn't heard.
Lucky we're sitting down.
And what was the link to homelessness then?
Don't know.
He didn't have a home.
Sounds like a good guy.
I mean, if he was dealing with homeless people back then, it shows Glasgow has got deep-rooted problems, doesn't it? They had homelessness 1,500 years
ago. When there was four people in Glasgow. Seven houses.
That's me. Who's
this? I can't find the link. I can look it up.
That's very strange.
Get back to you.
And then how did you get into stand-up?
I'll just try and make it. Because it's a sub, it's what, violin kind of thing.
Can you nutshell it? Yeah. Not really, I'm joking.
Yeah, I will.
No, the violin stuff's nice.
So, my son was born 2006, and then I took the year off maternity leave, begrudgingly went back to work. 2009, he got his diagnosis when he was about 2.5 in March. And then I used to pay my mum to watch him while I went back to work. So she'd come up to me, watch him. I had flexi hour. I used to do 9 to 5, 10 to 6, those kind of times. And the last Friday, I think it was June or July, I think, the last Friday in July, she went home and she had a heart attack. Mm. So I couldn't go into work the following week. And then I just, like, they wouldn't operate on her, she was obese. So she had to lose 4 stone before they would operate on her heart. She needed multiple bypass surgery. But the stage reason she couldn't exercise or nothing.
Yeah,
so she was just literally on a liquid diet in her bed. So I took some time off work. And then that December of 2009, I handed in my resignation. I just thought, I can't do this. But they gave me a year off unpaid because they didn't want to lose me.
They knew what was going on, yeah.
Yeah, but I'd been headhunted in the position in Brent. I had been headhunted for that. So, like, and I picked up the services. I was a good little worker. I loved my job.
Mm.
But I couldn't go back. After the year, I just said, I can't be a carer in the day, like support services.
Looking after your mum in the day.
And like, well, no, if I went back to work, I'd be responsible for all these vulnerable adults.
Yeah.
Then I've got a vulnerable mother. I've got a child who's newly diagnosed and I'm learning about his disability. And then I had two older children, both in teenage, and I had no one supporting me. So I had to work out. So I just said, I'm not going back. Took time off. And then I just thought, I need to do something. I got depressed quite severely, put on about 5 stone. And then
Jesus Christ, not really.
Yeah, no, I did. I like my fucking all right. Unrecognizable, and
it's gonna take its toll, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and then basically, I when I was 40, I did a stand-up course, the 7-week one.
Which,
and then
who did which one did you do?
Logan
Comedy School with Comedy Keith Palmer.
School. Oh. Okay.
And because it was the cheapest, and then but I went to a showcase before I gave up my money.
Yeah.
And the showcase was brilliant. And I thought, I can do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I really went and I gunned it. I made sure I was noticed every week, wore loud outfits, smashed my showcase, was shitting myself. Mm. It was
scary,
all
isn't it? That time in stand-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just, that was the October 2008. And then I just started, did what we all did, the little open mic-y things. Mm. I'm no good at networking, really bad at it. And then I just kind of got around, and then people kept saying, your comedy voice is different. Like, there's no one doing it saying what you're saying, you know?
I would agree with that.
So I... they just said, keep at it. And Keith, God bless him, I still talk to him now, actually I'm doing some work with him later. He just said, don't use money and buy any more courses, because some people are doing ad lib courses, clown courses. He said, just go out and gig.
Be yourself, yeah.
Just go out and gig and find your comedy voice. And I think I found that in 2010 when I did Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just went up for a couple of weeks with mates, just did spots. And that's when I decided to say, all right, then this is what I'll do as a career.
Yeah.
I've made up my mind now. And that's how I just...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There. I will say, in slight defence of clown courses, I did a weekend one about 4 years ago.
Mick Barnfather.
No, I did Lucy Hopkins.
Oh.
And I love... I mean, I'd been a professional stand-up for 12 years at that point, but I just felt like I just fancied a challenge to make me think about sort of bits a bit differently, and I loved it.
I felt
it was very challenging.
I couldn't bear it. I did one.
Well, that's what I mean.
My car's on a double yellow.
It was the most...
It was brutal.
Yeah, it's such a bare... Like, not like stand-up.
The people
is so
that were good at it
stand-up.
Were just getting on my nerves, though. Like, I was like, oh, God. Like, I just had to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's about, yeah, because I was very, like, you know, I think I've got a good sense of comedy and stand-up. I think I know what I'm about. But, like, I think clowning makes you think... It makes you question every single thing about what's funny about you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing it then.
It's yeah.
It's different.
I trust
to
I'm funny. Yeah, yeah. So I don't need.
Yeah.
So you'd be, if that was 3 years ago, you'd been doing comedy about the same length of time as me.
I've been doing comedy
years?
For
about 2004. You started.
I started. Yeah, I did my first open spot in 2004, but right. Like I did literally one or two, and then 2005.
And your last one last
was
night.
When I. I finally packed it in, everyone. Just announcement. I have
they finally
given
give
up.
You a 10
on
now.
Your ass. Yeah.
But yeah, I did. 2005 was when I went, all right, I'm interested in this. But over that year, I still only did 20 open spots.
Right.
And it was in 2006, I thought, right, I'm going to commit to this. And I entered the Laughing Horse competition. And then I sort of went from there. And that's when I had sort of a good day. First year of I did about 150 open spots that year. And I won a couple of competitions.
Nice.
I suddenly was like, oh, right, now this is, I know what I want to do now. Yeah. I still had a proper job and that. So
what was it you want to do?
Not have a job. That was
not die on my
thing.
Ass anymore.
Yeah, but
I know that's why I got into it, to just not
have a job.
Yeah, or I remember seeing Andrew Maxwell and thinking this could be a job.
Yeah,
I was like, that's all I wanted.
That's what I remember.
Like
seeing
a smoky club comedian vibe. You know what I mean?
Mine was Addie Borg. I remember being taken to the Banana Cabaret. And I saw Addie Borg walk on stage and just be so silly, and he was a bit clowny and like. And I just watched this guy just piss around.
Yeah, yeah.
And realised that he was
20 minutes.
Realised it was a job. And I was like, this is way better than the life I've been sold, which is you've got to get up and have a 9-to-5 and do all that bullshit.
Yeah.
And suddenly that's what got me interested. And, you know, that was that. Once I sort of realised I could... Once I started that sort of 2006, once I started properly doing it and then started getting the odd paid gig, I was like, oh, I could do this. I could do this as a job and not have to ever do anything in the daytime again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which shouldn't really be the... I mean, most people who start stand-up now watch a lot of stand-up when they're young and think, that's my dream. They're not, I suppose, it's a different era, isn't it?
It's different now, I feel.
Whereas I genuinely was running away from real life. It was like running away to join the circus back in the day. Yeah,
I knew I couldn't go to uni. When I didn't go back to St. Mungo's, I just did not know what I was going to do.
Yeah.
And because I've also, I didn't finish the degree, but I'm a trained counsellor and psychologist. And but I didn't finish the degree. That's why I say trained and not qualified, even though you're qualified, didn't you? But I didn't know what I was going to do because I thought college and uni ain't me.
No, that's what I had a similar thing.
And I thought, like, at the age I was like 40, and I was like, what am I going to do? Like, food makes money, but I thought, I'm not going to get up at the crack of dawn and do a cafe.
It's hard as well. It's proper hard work.
Honestly, truth is, honest to God, I thought about running a brothel. I did. I thought I would make a brilliant madam.
Yeah.
I thought my girls would be safe.
Junior's got a lot of experience with brothels.
Yeah. No, I even did like a plan, worked out what kind of girls, and I thought I'd only need one man, really. But I worked it all out.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd make her. So it was between that.
They go to jail though, don't they? Like madams for a long time.
Really? But you're not going to get caught, are you?
My dad was very good friends with that Janie, famous madame. There's a Kink song about her. My sister was named after her.
By your dad?
She went to prison for 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. Did she?
My dad did 6 months.
I don't think it's so much the sex work.
He got off,
it's the earnings. It's not giving the queen her fair share of the tax.
That's a big part.
Is it as criminalised? I don't think it's as criminalised as it used to be now, is it?
The problem is nowadays is the human trafficking element of it. Yeah, you've got to find your way around getting caught doing that.
You've got a van. Someone knocking on your door like, make a hooker out of me.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did. I thought about doing it.
Okay.
But I bet you're
a comedian was a better option.
I did the sex chat line for a while.
Did really? You? Did. What sort of things do you say? Move your mouth closer to the mic. Can we dim the lights a sec?
That's a different kind of show, Julian.
Pause the Blu-ray.
I couldn't do
just
it for
actual
long.
Full-on chat lines.
Yeah,
I'm licking your balls.
What sort of people? And you can only obviously gauge this from their voice.
Do you recognise sort of Cole's voice? Cool?
Yeah. I recognise yours.
Just want to clarify: is my voice recognisable? But no, is it? Is there a certain type of person that you recognise from their voice alone?
Businessman.
Or is it quite actually, is it a good cross section of blokes?
Quite middle class English.
From memory, it was honestly, I think I did it for a month.
Right.
I couldn't do, your phone rings and you can put on a different ringtone.
It comes through to your mobile.
Well, at the time, it was my house phone.
Right.
And
you got people around
with your kid on.
No, because you do it in school time. It was school hours.
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay.
While they were. And
so guys are just ringing up between 9 and 3.
That's the
on a lunch break
and a Tuesday
at work.
Wife goes to work. Do you know what I mean?
Man. I always think it's a weird kink. The guys that do that, I wouldn't really get much out of it. I'll call you later and you can change my mind.
It weren't for me because I'm not. I have not a nice background, childhood background. Yeah, yeah. And my connection with sexual relations wasn't healthy at the time.
Yes. I was going to say the word healthy.
So it could be triggering, could it?
Well, I had a hatred for the people who were ringing wanting me to speak to them. I could feel a hatred.
Yes.
And even though I put myself in that position for the earnings.
Yeah.
It's easy money, isn't it? I bet.
Yeah, but I was developing a dislike for myself.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, I'm not a therapist, but I suspect you might have had a similar reaction to running a brothel.
No, I think because it would be...
Same, I guess you're looking after women.
But do you not think it's the same sort of person would be coming into a brothel and is calling
those lines?
Yeah, but
I wouldn't have to talk to them.
No.
They're upstairs doing the act. Okay. There's the act, but there was something about...
The
even though it's
of...
really weird.
It's quite intimate.
Partner,
you're being intimate with someone on the phone, aren't you?
And when I have a partner, I'm great at dirty talk.
Yeah.
But having to do it like that, and they demand, because you just don't talk, they'll say to you things like, tell me exactly what you're doing now.
Yes.
And you're lying on your bed with a fucking knitting needles.
There was one guy who wanted me to go to the window.
You know, he wanted me to go to the window and be topless at the window. Anyone walking past? Go to the window, take your top off. What can they
so
see?
So much like
can
he wants to. You? His kink is almost like humiliating women.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But like, but you're not doing all of these things. So you're pretending that you're at the window and you're pretending.
If you can detach yourself from it completely, just make believe, it's easy money, isn't it?
If you're a decent actor as well, he's good acting. Yeah.
If you've got no issues, if you've got
give him my number.
Yeah, I've got your number, darling. Don't you remember? We spoke last night.
Oh, yeah. Were you really at the window last night?
I was, no.
With your knockers out.
With me knockers
out. Or did you lie to me?
I lied.
Come for no reason.
I lied to that husky voice.
That must have been interesting, though, doing that.
I mean, I experienced it. It weren't for me.
How
it's
long
for
did you
others.
Do it for?
About six weeks.
And what was the volume of calls per day, like, on average?
It would vary. From memory, it would range from about 10 to sometimes you'd put the phone down and it'd ring straight away.
That's a lot of
even
blokes.
When I stopped doing it, I got a call from head office because I said look, I don't want to do it anymore, and it was all respectful, but they
was
called
it HR
me. Yeah, literally called me, said, we've listened to all your recordings. What? You're really good at it. Why don't they still carry on? I don't know.
Can you pop them up, James?
I want royalties. I want back day royalties. If they're still bloody.
I suppose you might not own it, though. Like, they own it, eh?
Wouldn't know.
It's like the Beatles.
I have to go to court to get
it's like
right.
Prince.
I'll have to cross that zebra crossing for me,
how
me royalties.
How much does it cost the guys to call? Because I haven't checked my phone bill yet. I want to know what I'm in for.
Check your Monzo.
No, but yeah, do we know how much? How much does it cost to call a premium sex line?
Lucas knows. He's pretending he's typing.
No.
He's just sending
he's
an email.
Down.
It's 4.29.
Yeah, what are we saying per minute?
Yeah.
It's going to be by minute, it's not per
it's
hour.
Got, it's got to be bucks.
Specifically when you ring Josephine.
Yeah.
Well, a worker will get 27 grand a year, apparently.
Right, okay.
I mean, that's if they put the hours in, I guess.
But it doesn't say how much the guys are calling. What's the actual callable cost?
I'm trying to find.
Be interested to know.
Oh, it says $5 a minute or $300 an hour.
Yeah, but we're not doing dollars.
An hour. Well, give or take. So say £4 to £5 an hour.
Yeah. Says that's
based
average.
On current exchange
an
rates.
An hour, a minute.
So 10 minutes would be 40 quid.
Yeah.
Well, you better get to that window quick.
You better be hammering your dick like a new. That'd be fast wanking.
I could do it in a minute.
Yeah.
£4.
It's mad.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, isn't it?
At least start saving.
Get a bank loan.
Yeah. Put your coppers in a bottle.
Should we check what topics or chat was recommended in the group from our listeners?
Did you do a post? I forgot to.
No one knows I'm on?
Here's an interesting one. Mayen says, she's seen you live twice. You're brilliant.
Who, me?
Yeah. Oh. She has a question off the back of your show. How did you or will you teach your kids about sex? I presume that is a reference to some sort of
It's
chat
a reference
or...
to my new show, Autism, Mama and Puberty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was her name? Mayen.
Mayen.
Mayen, thank you for that, my love. I have thought about that. Because he's already asked me when can he have sex.
Right.
Yeah.
And as a comedian, I was in my head like, I'll just buy him a hooker when he's 18. but because he's so delayed in his emotions...
Yes.
Might not be ready for it.
No, and he knows... To teach him about sex, I would teach him as you would teach any other child.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there'll be discussions, there'll be social stories, work really well with my son. He's very good with social stories. If when he's an adult, I have to sit through a porn thing, I would do.
Oh, I'll sit with him, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to teach him how to have sex
one's
with
like
animals.
The final master.
You know what I mean?
Now we're on to felching, here you go.
I let Julian keep his kinks to himself. But yeah, it the same way you would teach a neurotypical child.
Yes.
It's just that he's delayed, and then I just hope that one day he meets someone who loves him as much as I do.
Yes.
And you know, he's sensitive, he's got feelings, very rarely, but he has told me, like, love you, Mum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna choke up now.
Oh.
Don't,
it's awkward. And
yeah, I know you cold bastards.
I get like that with my daughter though. Yeah. She's not a hugger. So right. I kind of force her to hug.
Yeah.
And when she was ill once, she kind of put her... She went like that to me. It was so lovely.
Yeah.
I just need it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to sort of impose on her space.
No, well, it's their sensory need as well. Like, I do silly things like... My son will, because he does his math, so he might be sitting down and, you know, he's got the back of a rugby player and he's got a thick neck. So he'd be like this and all his neck is exposed. And, you know, I'll walk past and I'll stroke his neck and he'll lift his head. Why did you touch me like that?
Yeah.
And I just forget. But the mum in me just like, oh, yeah, my boy.
Yeah.
And because when I was taught about his sensory needs, so like, you know, you stroke your daughter or your loved one, anything. Mm. That feeling, that kind of action is hurtful to my son. It can cause him discomfort. You have to literally squeeze his joints. He reacts to deep pressure.
Okay.
So I had to learn about all of that, the way that he feels and senses. And well, the truth is though, you know, I'm never really going to understand that. I'm never really going, everything I do is a reaction and something that I'm taught. I have to watch what works with him.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works, and then as he goes through development, I might have to switch it up a bit.
Mm.
But yeah, as for the actual act of sex, to teach him like everyone else, but it's going to be with more patience and a few more tools.
Hi, everybody. That's the end of the public episode.
Thanks for listening. Now, if you would like to hear more, you can go over to patreon.com/...
We Are TVI. You have to put it in the search bar.
Because we still haven't taken it off adult content.
Because it's triple X.
It's dirty. Filthy.
Nice.
Get your willies out when you listen. but yeah, go over to Patreon, sign up. What's the tiers? I can't remember what it is. Three?
We've got £3, £5... 10 and 20.
I mean, the 20 is a joke one. £10 is sort of a joke as well. £3 gets you just all the back catalogue of extra episodes and
hours and hours.
I don't know, how am I? 100?
100 hours.
Extra sort of episodes. The £5 tier, you get all that as well. But you also, if you wish, get to join the TVI WhatsApp group. And
you can also see the full episode or listen to the full episode with a £3 tier.
Yeah. So
£5 gets you the WhatsApp group.
Yeah. Excellent. That's it. That's all you need to know. Get over to Patreon if you want more.
Thanks for listening.
Otherwise, just thanks for listening to the public episode. And we'll
please like and share.
Yeah, give it a share, mate. Tell your friends. Tell your families. Tell your kids. Bye.
Love you.
We have to change the podcast.
I think
you know.